Hello, everybody, and welcome back to yet another very exciting episode of the Friends Talking Fantasy Podcast. My name is Charles, and with me today, as always, is my lifelong friend and co-host, Dylan.
I'm ready to talk some fantasy with my friends, Charles.
Yes, we say friends because joining us today is debut author Salome Goldenberg. You know, we're here celebrating the upcoming release of her debut fantasy novel, The Last Fee Hunter, which comes out at the time of this recording. It will be tomorrow, April 9th. And so, Salome, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Really excited.
Of course, the pleasure's all ours. Like we mentioned, The Last Fee Hunter coming out very soon. Very exciting. How does it feel with your debut novel about to come out? How's your experience been so far?
It's been pretty great, actually. I mean, there's been some ups and downs, you know, there's been some things here and there that I was like, oh, I wish that would have happened. But in general, I'm feeling like pretty good. Like, I think I've reached this sort of like zen where I'm like, you know what, whatever happens, happens. If it flops, it flops. If it blows up, perfect. But I'm good with just being able to put out my first book and seeing the reception and just having that opportunity. So it's been great.
Awesome. No, that's glad to hear. I can only imagine like writing a whole freaking novel, which congratulations on that, by the way. I don't know how authors do it, and then to just like put it out there too. It's as a debut author, so it's very exciting, and congratulations. And you know, the Last Fee Hunter is described as a mythical dark fantasy, and I have equal parts smart, exhilarating, and delightfully fun. And you know, we had the privilege of being able to get an advanced copy and read the book. And yeah, I was, you know, very impressed by it. It was a lot of fun. You know, it's definitely one of those, as we are big fans of like the grim dark genre, and we love a lot of like action and monsters and magic systems that bring into the fighting scene. So we had a really good time with it. And I guess the first thing that we want to do before we get too far into it, because we have a lot of questions, is why don't you just give us like a quick pitch of the book for those listeners that haven't heard of it before, since it hasn't come out yet.
Sure. Yeah. The Last Fee Hunter is I called it a mythic dark fantasy, and it's inspired by Thai folklore and culture. It follows the sort of journey of this fee hunter, which fee is a hungry ghost in Thai culture or Buddhist mythology, I should say. And he's on his way to hunt a legendary demon that's going to bring him like a lot of glory and renown. And then he runs into a pregnant runaway who asks for his help to visit a witch. And then as the story unfolds, he finds out that she has a lot of secrets, and that those secrets can potentially change, you know, the fate of the country. The stakes start to expand as he gets pulled into this journey. So yeah, that's the elevator pitch.
Yeah, that was super interesting to read a setting and a type of inspiration for a novel that was totally unique from anything else that we've read on this show. That, I mean, I can't think of anything quite like it. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more, Sal, about the Thai folklore inspiration behind The Last Fee Hunter.
Sure. It definitely made comps kind of hard. Actually, no, it was actually the comps was pretty easy. My whole like first pitch was like, it's The Witcher, but in Southeast Asia. So that kind of like worked pretty well. But yeah, like the way I started getting the idea for it was actually kind of combining a couple different story threads. I'm like the kind of writer that'll just start writing something random and then probably like abandon it when I'm like, wow, this has no plot or the characters are boring. But I had like two different story ideas. One was about a spirit hunter or like a demon hunter with his dog. And the thing I liked about that story was that he could like speak to the demon as he was like butchering it and stuff. And I like kind of was like pretty, and his dog, the hound, was kind of this silent partner, which I thought it was cool to have like a partner, not like his dog. So those were the only two things that like I took from that short story, because the character was horribly boring. And then I took this sort of like medieval kind of more like a very grim, dark, kind of like military sort of dark fantasy that was, I started putting elements of like a Thai setting into it, but the plot was just like not really going anywhere. So when I started like thinking about what I wanted to write, actually for NaNoWriMo 2020, I was like, oh God, I don't know. And then I thought about like combining some like premises, because I've had success with that before in other like unpublished novels. Like take this from this story and that from that novel, and then it's way better now. So I thought about it and then thought like, you know, what if I started looking at like this sort of spirit hunter story, and then combine it with that like Southeast Asian kind of like fantasy I had. And then when I started like looking into some of the ghosts and Thai folklore, I was just like, this shit is crazy. Like, why hasn't this been written about yet? People need to know, you know? Like, I think the first one was a Crisu, and I was like, whoa, okay, this is like the, you know, this lady who during the day looks normal, and then at night she floats around as a disembodied head with like entrails hanging down, hunting people. And you know, in history they say that like Thai people or whatever used to put like sticks on their fences because they thought it would catch the krasaus that like floated by, you know.
Snag on some entrails or something
Yeah.
as it was flying
Yeah.
by.
So yeah, that was cool. Then I started like looking into like necromancy, because it's actually like a big thing. And so yeah, like as I started researching it more and listening to like stories from my mom and stuff, I just thought like, well, this should totally be in a story. And having a story about like a monster hunter seems like a perfect fit for it.
No, it's really cool because we've played the Witcher video games, and we've read some of the books on the show and this and that. And it's interesting to see the Polish folklore kind of influence in the setting and in all of the monsters and this and that. But it's like the Thai folklore inspiration that gives it really a unique kind of perspective and twist. And I mean, I don't know that some of those monsters are very creative. A floating head with entrails hanging off of it. That just makes for an entertaining story. I don't know. It's it practically writes itself at that
Exactly. It's like that whole like truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, like truth as in the sense it was a myth that already existed, right?
point.
So like I didn't really have to come up with too much as far as the demons went, because they're all like already pretty cool. I think the only one I actually made up was like the true demon, Shar Allah. That was actually, he was actually in that first like short story I wrote, but I still took the whole idea that like, you know, he was a human once and did some terrible things, and then is now being like karmatically punished for his actions. But whereas like some of the other hungry ghosts are more like just kind of being tortured and, you know, upset about it, and they're kind of like these sometimes pathetic creatures that, you know, will, you know, enact violent things on people as like a continuation of their trauma or whatever. Like the Shar Allah demon, I thought like he like leans into, you know, his badness, like his villainy, you know, era. He just wants to like completely go down the dark path, and that's how they become like these really dangerous monsters. So that was really the only one I like kind of made up. I think all the other ones are mostly real, or like have a basis in folklore.
Yeah, and that's really cool that all I mean, all these It seems so unique and so different from anything that I've ever heard of, and all that goes to show is my definite ignorance of Thai folklore, and that you did an awesome job of bringing these myths to life. And it's really cool. It does have a very like mystical sort of like n nature driven I guess vibe to it at points. Like there's like guardians of certain areas, like guardians of the swamp and stuff like that. It gives kind of like Princess Mononoke vibes in that way. I've been on a Studio Ghibli kick recently, so that's right where my mind went.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was that exactly was one of the inspirations for that aspect of it, like these cool like guardian spirits that are like immortal and like, you know, humans are puny insects compared to them. Which I think is really funny that like the Naga is on the cover. Have it. And it seems like it's the final battle, right? But it ain't. So I liked kind of using that in it, and like, yeah, Princess Mononoke and like, you know, the big boar spirit, I forget their names, and like the deer and stuff. It was all like really intriguing, and I like that sort of mystical vibe, especially when, wait, how many spoilers are we doing? Okay, I won't spoil it. I was about to, but I'll stop. And like the hound too was actually like very almost 1-to-1 with oh God, I forget the name of the big, the wolf that Princess Mononoke kind of like is her like mother basically. But yeah, like that whole like her talking to him and stuff, or her and stuff, like that kind of really inspired X's relationship with the hound.
I see that comparison completely, because what's interesting is, as much as you're thrown into this world of monsters and demons, you have our main character, X, who is this kind of this hunter, right? He is a someone who's, the very first scene, he's fighting a demon and, butchering off pieces and selling it and stuff, very transactional. But he is almost like this wannabe hero type. It's kind of stands out against these elements of folklore. So one of the things I want to kind of to ask about was the kind of creation of X. I know you had mentioned you had this hunter character in your short story, and it kind of developed from there. But how did you kind of work out the characterization of X, who can be described as, I think you said, cinnamon roll energy?
Yeah, I think my agent was like, I say this in the nicest term, in all of love, that he's a complete himbo. And I think that's what I was like subconsciously channeling, was just kind of like lovable oaf that sort of stumbles through things, always says the wrong things. But also I really wanted to make him kind of like pretty emotional and like, you know, so not to get away from that like ultra masculine, like badass, you know, like he is still pretty badass, but I wanted him to have like this sort of sensitive side that I think is a result of all the things he's been through and his sort of solitary lifestyle. So yeah, so when I started thinking of him, I mean, I'm more of like a pantser sort of. I call myself like a reformed pantser that relapses into like, if you saw the outline, you'd be like, what is this story? This is not what I read. So like I kind of found my way into him, and it just like as soon as I kind of figured out his voice, it just was pretty seamless to go through the story with him. It was actually originally written in first person, but I don't know, it just like for some reason it wasn't really there, so I decided to switch it into third, and then it worked a lot better.
That's interesting. What was
Interesting.
that writing process, right? Switching from first to third. Is it as a big of a pain in the ass as I think it is?
No, it's actually pretty easy. Like
Oh,
you do a lot of
good.
find and replace, you know, like the eyes with he or whatever. I mean, it's easy to miss little things, and then when you like, you know, the first pass at it, you miss so many things, like the me's and myself's and the we's or whatever. But it only took like maybe 2 days versus some other edits I've had to make that took a lot longer. So it was more like just kind of like a technical slog, if anything. And something I noticed too was I think that actually writing it in first person made it, I think, a little bit easier to turn it into like a close third because you're already in his head the whole time. So you keep a lot of that interiority. So that might even be a little like writing trick if you're trying to do that, get in someone's head like really close, because when it's like I looked here, or I went there, they're gonna have a very like narrow camera focus that you can sort of count on them not noticing something like creeping up behind them. But I think that third offered like a little bit more leeway into stuff that was happening in the environment and other characters and that kind of thing. You can have like a slightly wider lens.
That makes sense, I think, because this story, although X is the clear protagonist here, I think you could make the case that he's kind of wrapped up in someone else's story more so than his story being the one that's driving the plot as much, because you've got your other main character. I want to make sure I'm saying her name right. Is it Arinya?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and pretty much he meets up with Arinya relatively early in the story, and he kind of gets wrapped up in her life and her story and all the secrets that we can't reveal here in this spoiler-free episode. But can you tell us more about Arinya and how you came about creating her as a character?
She just kind of like popped it in the story. I think I wrote that like fight scene. And then in my head, I was like, what if she was pregnant? That would be hilarious. And then she was. And then I'm like, oh, how is this going to make sense? But yeah, I
Make her
really liked,
pregnant.
yeah, I really liked writing her. I like love the idea of kind of subverting that whole damsel in distress trope. If she didn't have to deal with demons, she'd be totally fine on her own, I think. But like adding that aspect of it, this is hard to talk about without spoilers, but I'll do my best. Adding that aspect gave it a little bit more depth, I think. I like the idea of making like kind of normalizing the whole like consort, kind of like sort of like a it I mean it's like an esteemed position in that culture, back in the history or whatever, and but she's not like ashamed of it or anything. It's like she has a history and she's like proud of it. She's proud of the way she like dug herself up from like poverty and like provided for her family and kind of like made something of herself. And I think it reflects in the way like X starts to look at her like, wow, she's like really strong and confident. Like, why can't I be like that? And yeah, so she was really fun to write. I loved adding the whole like used to be a Moi Baran champion kind of thing. And that spoiler, I don't know. It's fine. It's fine. This will be semi-spoilery, maybe. We can like make a little beep if it's like major spoilery.
We'll fix it in post if it
Yeah, we'll
becomes too
fix it in post. Just a whole
spoilerly.
line throughout the whole thing.
Well, I do think they make a good duo, a good pair from the very beginning, where you can tell that Arena is tough, and she's like, hey, I need you to help me on this quest. It's kind of a very different thing. X wasn't like, fair maiden, allow me to help you on this quest. It's he's
Yeah.
kind of like he's kind of being, told he's going, and it creates for a fun dynamic because he's the demon guy, and so there's just that kind of back and forth between them. It is definitely an interesting twist on that kind of trope between like the male female protagonist going on the quest, you know. That was a fun piece to read.
Yeah, I think like in a way he still kind of wants to be a hero in a way, even though
Yeah.
it's not the same as like slaying this like legendary demon. He thinks like this, I can prove myself in this way, underneath it all, even if, due to some things in the story happening, he might not actually, he probably would just get reprimanded by people that he respects for doing, kind of impulsive things. But yeah, I think deep down he wants to like help and be a hero. So I think like he quickly kind of buys into like helping her and, making sure that she gets through it okay.
For sure. Yeah, it definitely seems like identity is one of the big overarching themes of the book, right? And you see X even from the very beginning being like, this person seems like they need help. Like, should I go? And then he's got his own things to prove in his professional career and like his own ideas about what he thinks, like, I want to be a big famous hero and you know, all of that together. So it's kind of fun when you have kind of those characters where he's like, do I want to go along on this quest? Like, I think I do. Like, do I want to be a hero? Am I even needed as a hero in this portion of where what we're doing right now? So it was definitely a fun way to kind of play on that theme of identity on like the micro level, while you also have him having sort of like a hero crisis, trying to beat, I want to beat the biggest, baddest monster there is so I can be famous. You know, it's a kind of an interesting combination to have going at the same time.
I kind of like the idea of how, even though he like wants this respect and to be a hero, but it's still like a very like small niche of his world or sir his society, like because the Fee Hunters aren't really as esteemed and respected as they once were due to like the kingdom modernizing and stuff. So in his eyes, he's kind of seeking like respect from just his, community. Even though like him being who he is kind of is looked at as suspicious or not as respected, like, oh, these guys, like, what are they even doing? Like, there's no monsters anymore, like, like this silly
Right.
superstition, even though it's like, yeah, there's definitely still monsters, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting, like he does have his own sort of identity, but then like getting drawn into this like larger like society where he's dealing with what's the word? He's dealing with there's people outside of his community and like how he wants to be perceived by them. I thought that was like a fun balance to try to make.
For sure, for sure. And one of the things that I'm kind of, like, speaking of identity, it's like there's so much about the book that we've talked about that I think, you know, a lot of people would be drawn to. So definitely check it out. But one of the things I kind of want to pivot and learn more about you, Sal, and how you got into writing fantasy novels and, you know, how you became a debut fantasy author. What's some of your professional background? How did you get into fantasy writing?
Oh, okay. Well, I've always been like a writer. Like when I was, I have that typical like when I was a little baby. Like I was trying to write stories before I could write. Like I'd draw picture books basically and do like gibberish, and I'd be like, "Dad, can you translate this?" Basically, and he would like write the captions. I wonder if I still have those somewhere. But I've always like really been interested in that and writing stories, and then I wrote with one of my best friends, Brandy Shattuck. Just gotta shout out my girl. But like
Shout out.
we were big. This is so funny. Okay. We were like huge like Final Fantasy nerds in the 90s. And
Oh
so
boy.
we didn't know what we were doing, but we were writing like Final Fantasy fanfic before the internet. Like it was kind of like the most
You
ridiculous
basically
stuff.
invented Final Fantasy
Yeah,
fan
I totally invented
fiction.
it, on like this loose leaf paper. But these, like, we would, just write these like really long, we had binders full of like, you know,
Wow.
world building and stuff, even though it was, you know, based on Final Fantasy and all these characters we loved. But so I wrote a lot, like, you know, as a kid growing up, but it really never occurred to me that I could be like an author, like a professional author, like not at all. Like it seemed like something like, you know, like a rock star thing that like not, you know, it's like one in a million, like I don't know, or like home ownership, I don't know, something that I was like, ah, it's not for me. How could I ever
Just
do
as
that?
elusive.
Exactly. So until like one day, same friend was like called me from the Barnes and Nobles, and she like sent me a picture, and she's like, I've read this book, it is trash. I don't know what it was. I, you know, it might not have been, I'm not gonna like, you know, call anyone out, but anyway, she's like, this book was so horrible. She's like, why can't we like write, you know, and get published? And it was like, huh, I never like even thought of that. That's a thing you can do. So I started looking into it, you know, and we went through the whole like learning curve of like, what is an agent? What is a publisher? Like, how do you get published? Like, it's a whole ass
I just picture
thing,
you
you
going
know.
to Google how to write fantasy book. Enter.
Exactly. It was like, oh, I had the writing down part, but I did not have the whole like publishing industry down part
Yeah, the
down.
whole business side, yeah.
Oh God, yeah, it's a whole thing. And so that was like a huge learning curve, like, okay, how do I get an agent? Blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I started doing that and I wrote, I don't know, maybe like six novels. I didn't query all of them, but some of them, many of them. And, you know, of course, maybe have like some requests here and there, but, you know, nothing panned out until this one. I actually sent it into, you know, I was querying it for a while, not getting many requests. I sent it into, like, kind of on a whim, Angry Robot has this open submissions period, every year maybe, or every 2 years for like a month, where they accept unsolicited submissions. So I was like, yeah, shit, why not? Send it in. And then like out of the blue, like a long time later, I don't even know how many months, they like sent me a message like, oh, we like this, can you send more? And I'm like, okay.
Nice.
So yeah, I sent it in, they liked it, and they wanted to buy it, and they were really cool in giving me time to get an agent, to find an agent. So I actually got the book deal before I had an agent, which is kind of a backwards way of going about it, but it's kind of crazy how many requests you suddenly get when you're like, hey, I got a book offer, you know, and then all of a
It's
sudden
like,
everyone's
oh,
like,
I'll take
oh, you did my
10% of that.
job
No
for me
problem.
already? Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's like, this
You know,
guy
if you
wouldn't
need a
give me the
second
time of
agent, I'll
day for my
happily
work.
take I'll take 5%. I'll do half, you know. Next book deal,
Luckily,
just let me know.
yeah.
I'll be your agent after you get the
Right?
deal, of course. I can't get you any deals.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it was great to get all that interest, for like
Sure.
some of the agents, you know, or people who rejected me so many times. But I really lucked out with the agent I got, because she like is perfect. She loved the story. I think she read it like really fast, like faster than everyone. And she like, you know, made the deal so much better. And yeah, she's definitely Sam Farkas, best agent ever. So
Oh,
I
shout out.
definitely, you know, even if you have a book deal in the pocket, you need an agent just to like help you with your career, with, you know, navigating all these ins and outs. It's just not wise to go into like a book deal thinking like, oh, I don't want to spend the 15%, but then it's like, whoa, this 15% is nothing compared to what my agent was able to do for my deal, you know?
For
So
sure.
I'm really happy with her and how it turned out. Sorry, I'm just giving myself a refill here.
Gotta have the refill. Very important.
Yeah.
No, that's a Incredible story. It's always funny when I see like debut author and it's like, yeah, but also there's so much history behind that. It's like you trunked what, four novels before that, and
At
yeah,
least
it's it
maybe six. I'm trying to remember.
wow.
Some of them are like really like someday I'll go back to them maybe and make them like publishable. So that's another thing. Like when you're writing and starting out, I advise people to not get stuck on their first novel because like you're gonna get better as a writer every time, you know? And I know some people who just like kind of write the same. Just keep editing the same novel for like 10 years and never go out with it. And it's kind of like, it's never like completely dead. Like you can always come back to it, but like sometimes it's not working and you need to like pivot and try something new. Like I wrote this story in, I mean, I wrote the NaNoWriMo thing. So I wrote half the first half in a month and then was so like stoked on it that I finished the second half the next month. And yeah, like you can, I think like every novel I wrote just kept, I kept leveling up a little bit here and there. So it's definitely worth it to like, you just have to like trunk something sometimes and like maybe resurrect it or mine it for, combine it with another story and make it better. So.
That's great advice. It reminds me, we've had a couple authors on here talk about how it's something that came up with Nicholas Eames, who wrote Kings of the Wild, and Sara El
Love
Rifai,
that
who wrote
book.
The Final Strife,
Right.
both incredible authors that we've been lucky enough to chat with. And they both had this kind of similar story of working on a novel for a very long time that sounded like it was a lot more your typical epic fantasy, almost like Lord of the Rings inspired stuff. And they both read a lot of that. And then they're like, oh, I want to try my hand at writing it. And then working on that for years, tinkering with it. And then nothing really becomes of that. It ends up getting trunked. And then something just hits them that ends up being a lot more their own voice. And they really came into their own with those books that I just mentioned before that end up getting published and picked up quickly and have been massive successes. And I think both would say that the like you mentioned, the leveling up, the experience of working on that first book was invaluable, but eventually gotta just put that aside and write what's
Yeah.
calling to
I
you.
think like every fantasy author like writes that first like 300,000 word epic fantasy that just like goes nowhere and it's just like
It's a rite of
painful.
passage.
Oh yeah, I definitely like I think the first one I wrote seriously that I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get this published was like this 200,000 word like science fantasy like weird android story, and I do still like it, not gonna lie, but
It
completely
sounds interesting.
unpublishable. Completely like it just, yeah. I didn't know anything about story structure, I hadn't like studied craft, and I still like only kind of study craft, but it was it, I think you have to, and then I think my friend told me, I was just like, I don't know about the story, and she's like, I think you just had to write it. She just said you had to get it out of your system, basically.
Seriously.
And just learn how to like not write a story or just like you're leveling up, your dialogue and your descriptions and stuff.
You're grinding for that XP, you know? You
Exactly. Yeah,
The
that's
Final
exactly
Fantasy fan in you.
what it is. Yep. I grinded for my XP for
Although I'm sure someday we'll have to release the Final Fantasy fanfic, right, Dylan? Dylan's a big
definitely.
Final Fantasy fan.
I am. I wanted to ask you which Final Fantasies you were writing fan fiction
Oh,
about.
whoa, you're gonna make date myself. All right. Well, I had an older brother who was a nerd as well. So I was into the games like early, like, grade school, young. Like, I remember once I saved over his Final Fantasy
Oh my God.
one. Final Fantasy one
One.
save,
Wow.
where you picked your I don't know if maybe not, but yeah, and he was so mad. Like it was like And I get it now. I'm like, wait, I think,
I
that's what it
know.
was. Like in that game, you had to, like, if your party died, you had to, like, go to spend a bunch of money somewhere to, like, resurrect them or something like asinine like that. And I think I, like, loaded up his game and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna help him, and like went and like spent all his money like resurrecting his people. I didn't know he
Oh
had a plan.
no.
Like, I think he was like grinding solo to like make his dude better or whatever. But yeah, he was pissed. But as far as the as far as the fantasy we started with, I think it was, oh, Final Fantasy 2 and 3 or 6 in the US was the one that really like sucked me in. And especially 6, like or 3. If you play it, I don't know if you all have played it, but it's just like really different than a lot of the other Final Fantasies. I feel like the themes they explore in that, there's like, you know, it's like it's pretty dark, you know. There's like suicide and like slavery and like just like death, like, well, death in a way that, I don't know. It was such a cool world with the magic tech and stuff. And I think, like, I think most of our fanfic was like, I think it was Final Fantasy 2. So yeah, I totally just, yeah, it was the 90s. It was the 90s, I
We had an
remember.
older brother, okay, so that
Yeah, it's
was
yes, I was one. No. No, like, yep. Yeah, that was it. And I liked, you know, all those old like Square Soft at the time, not Square Enix games like Chrono Trigger and Secret of Mana. Like, so those were fair game, you know. So yeah, that was those were the main games I think that we were writing about.
Those are very
Gotcha.
exposition heavy games as well. I never Dylan's the expert. I've never played them, but all I know is that the story is very complicated.
In which one?
In
Oh.
all of Final Fantasy, like they've remade seven, like what, three
Oh yeah.
times, four times.
It's very different than the original though, I'll say. But yeah, six is a classic. That's one that I think the like big Final Fantasy nerds will usually say is the best one or their favorite, right? Like
Oh
they're like
yeah,
seven's too mainstream.
I really judge
But
people by which Final Fantasy is their
yes.
favorite. Which one is yours?
So mine is eight, which is like a kind of
Really?
weird choice, I know.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a sucker for a good love story, and I like it in that one. But you know, I kind of like seven through nine were really my like were peak Final Fantasy
Definitely
for
when it
me.
became, you know, 3D and maybe that sucks you in a little bit more. But yeah, I love 7 too. And oh yeah, the remake. Yeah, that it they just like really leaned into the weird with the remakes, I think.
I've only seen clips. It seemed kind of odd. It's like eating sandwiches and chasing birds and then fighting guys with giant swords.
Yeah, I was definitely like, I don't remember this, but I think like at some point in the last, I don't know how many years I played, like I think I got a copy on something of Final Fantasy VII, like the original, but like a emulated or new version or something. And I was like, I forgot how weird this game was, like the whole like dolphin jumping mini game. I'm like, what, this is horrible. Like, how did I have patience for this? But like, I guess as a kid, you have a lot of patience for like brutal, you know, save points or whatever. But I much prefer the modern games where it's like, all right, you know, we're gonna checkpoint you every like 5 seconds. Like, good, thank you.
Keep with that
Yeah.
new attention span that we all have these days.
I say
So
that, yet I'm a
it's
Soulsborne fan, so I don't know.
oh
Maybe I think I'm
man.
kind of masochistic.
Well,
definitely for
on the
those games.
topic of video games, you also have a professional background working in gaming. It's you've created narrative trailers for Skyrim, Fallout 4, and Dishonored, and now you're producing videos for Minecraft. Can you tell us about that?
Oh yeah, sure. I worked in the, well, I still work in the game industry for many years. I think I started at Bethesda with Fallout New Vegas, which it was
Great
like my
game.
dream because I'm a huge sci-fi slash dystopian fan. Probably honestly more than fantasy, but don't tell anyone.
We won't
But
tell. Secret
no one will
safe
know.
with us and all our listeners.
And I was a huge fan of Fallout, one and two. And so when I saw New Vegas, I'm like, I must get this job. And so I ended up doing like a trailers for the Fallout New Vegas DLCs. And then we were working on Skyrim, which was freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's
And
the. I love New
yeah,
Vegas, but
Charles
I
is a
saw that. I was
huge.
like, oh, yeah, there we go. That
Yeah.
was so cool.
I
That would
did
be like
use.
a crazy thing. Like that must have been so cool. Charles
Yeah, it
put his
was.
hundreds of hours in on Skyrim for sure.
Oh man, me too, buddy. Like, because when I was making these trailers, I would have to play the games. But a lot of
Of
times when you're
course.
making a trailer, you're doing like kind of the same scene over and over, trying to get the perfect shot, doing all these console commands to try to like sort of program this and that to like do what you want. So I played hundreds of hours in Skyrim or Vegas or any of those games that I fought for, or the other like Dishonored and Evil Within, blah blah blah. But I never actually beat it. Like a lot of the quests I never did because I'm like, no, I need this cutscene, so I'm just gonna like skip, with the console command to like this stage or whatever. Or playing Dishonored and I'm just like murdering the same people over and over again 8 hours a day, which can
Doing
kind of
cool trick
be
shots for the trailers, you know.
a little
That's
bit
a good nine to
insane.
five.
Oh yeah. And it would be so funny to like, someone would come into my like video suite and be like, what you up to, as your coworkers used to bother you in those like office working days, which, boo to those. But yeah, they'd come in. Like, what are you up to? And I'm like, oh, I'm just blowing up this super mutant with 500 grenades and a rocket launcher. Got a couple more shots. Got a,
Got a
skin
deadline to
markers
hit.
and
These guys aren't gonna blow themselves up, you know?
exactly. No,
Mondays.
100%. Yeah, so it was a cool job. And so like, building on that whole, murder spree of those like AAA mature games. It's nice to take a break and do like Minecraft. It's very wholesome. I love that,
Right. I mean, who doesn't love Minecraft? It's like the most popular game ever of all of games.
Right. It's great. I love it.
That's really cool. That's like a. So when you make these trailers, you're like recording gameplay and then editing it together
Oh
for
yeah.
use for like promotion, like
It's like
on.
the whole nine. Like in Bethesda, I was doing a lot of those like big like for instance, the Fallout 4 launch for, no, the Fallout 4 announcement trailer was like the probably the most complicated one. And it involved like working with animators and character artists and programmers to kind of create this. I kind of like storyboarded the beginning of I don't know if you guys have seen it, but the dogs walking through the house, cuts between like old and new, and then the bomb explodes, he runs, blah blah blah. And so like I think writing has always kind of been in my tool set, because that's totally it. And I didn't like even realize it at the time. I'm like, I'm just making this cool thing. But then, there's placing sound effects. Sometimes you're working with VO, you're adding motion graphics. So, it was a lot of doing a lot of different things for that particular job.
That's really cool. So, does this mean you have all the inside scoop on Elder Scrolls 6 that you can share with us? That
Ooh. Why don't you
will
just
never
like
happen.
Oh, I think you guys
We'll
should
beep
just
it
like,
out, you know. We'll fix it
yeah,
in post. You
let's
can
just
tell
beep
me.
out like at least 10 seconds of this just to like drive people insane. And then after this beep, just be like, holy shit.
Oh my God.
I
Yeah. Seriously.
cannot believe that. That is just, this is going to be the best game ever.
I'm
And that's
sorry, but I'm going to
it.
have to kill you now.
Yeah.
Worth it. So the other thing that we wanted to mention, besides all that super cool video game story, because it is like making these trailers and like trying to construct scenes of a game to a trailer is kind of story crafting. So that's like a really interesting parallel. And then, you know, the book's very action driven as well, killing monsters and stuff. So it's interesting to see some of the connections there. But we also got to see in kind of this little bio of yours some of your favorite books. And, you know, as much as we like to judge people by which Final Fantasy book game they choose, we found it interesting the Joe Abercrombie book that you chose as your favorite book, Best Served Cold.
Yeah.
And we put some respect on that. That's a good choice.
Does? I don't know. Something about that, like, sort of standalone revenge story, the gathering, the crew.
Right.
To do this heist or whatever. I just like really love that. I mean, I read all of Abercrombie's stuff, like the First Law. I don't think I've read the newest series, but no, I haven't read the newest series, but the like yeah, the First Law and then the spin-off novels I really enjoyed. I thought the character was really cool. I think my favorite, of course, was his name Koska, but like kind of
Nikomo Kaska,
yes,
famed for Wheel of
Nikoska.
Fortune.
That dude's the best. I love it. I love him so much. So,
That is a great story for him. That's a great one.
yeah,
yeah, I mean,
a drink, a drink.
I must
That's
give him
classic.
a toast. I must pour one out for
Yes, pour one
Koska
out for
Prime. Yeah, so it's kind of the worst, but
Kaska,
yeah, that was my favorite one for sure. I
right?
think I was like really into the whole like grimdark fantasy because, I was a big like cyberpunk fan and that kind of thing. So I kind of like that like darker sort of fantasy that's a little bit less like ooh, wizards and fairies and stuff, I want
Yeah,
blood.
exactly. That one in particular had some nice gratuitous bloody scenes in it. I just remember seeing like a guy who got killed and then got crushed in a windmill and kept like spinning back
Right,
around and
like
over and over. It's like
that's the
that's
thing I
hilarious.
love about it, like how like there's so much funny stuff in it, but I guess you have to have it like a really dark sense of humor. Like I remember there's this one scene with, and I don't really remember completely, but I think it's like the old king or the prince or one of the old characters, and there's like a big commotion in this fair or party or something. I don't know. It was in the, but I just remember like laughing out loud at some of the stuff in there, like because I think putting a sense of humor, especially if you're writing like dark stuff, is so important. Like I hate reading a book where it's just so dramatic, and there's no like sense of humor in it. So I always try to add some of that lightness in there because it's just depressing if you don't,
It's
Yeah.
always nice
The
to see
Last
when
Fee
an author's having
Hunter.
fun.
Right, yeah, exactly.
The Last Fee Hunter has definitely a lot of that, and it has the darkness as like body horror, basically, and it's got demons and all this really messed up stuff happening, even from the very start. I mean, in the first chapter, he's like taking a child's head out of a demon he just killed in his body. It's like,
Sorry.
but it, you manage to find that Abercrombian style humor in all of those moments to keep things light. A lot of that stemming from, yeah, X is bringing that himbo energy, and the voice is also very humorous. A lot of it in the prose as well. So as Abercrombie fans, we definitely appreciated that.
Good. That makes me happy. You always have to have a little bit of a laugh after you find a, severed child's head in a demon's belly.
Yeah, I mean, I always want to laugh after I find one. So it's and also gotta say, we're all looking forward to that Best Served Cold movie when it when it finally comes out, right? Starring Rebecca Ferguson of Dune fame. So that I think Abercrombie and crew booked her at the right time. Her star is only rising.
Star is rising. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited for that for sure. That was the right choice, man. That was the
It
right
was the right
choice.
choice. It was,
Yeah,
I think, the right choice.
that whole like gather the team, do the thing, you know? I mean, like,
We got eight people to kill or whatever. So
right.
just kill them one at a
It's
time.
very Kill Bill. You can see it translating to
Yeah.
the silver screen. I think that it's also part of why we're like, that's a great choice for favorite Abercrombie book, is it's where you see Abercrombie figure out, oh, I can tell one full self-contained story in a book rather than in the original trilogy. It's kind of all spread out, like story
Yeah.
structure wise. Like, first book is like pretty much all intro, and then we go through the rest of the story structure throughout. And he kind of took that along with him throughout the rest of the books that he's written, including his newest series. You can see he's like, oh, I can tell a full story here. And it's got that kind of standalone with sequel potential
Yeah.
bit to it when it starts out, which is also how I would say The Last Fee Hunter reads, like
Great
very
seg.
standalone with sequel potential. And that does make us wonder if there's anything else in the works with The Last Fee Hunter world.
Yeah, I definitely wrote it as a standalone. I don't know. I just kind of like that one story. I don't want to drag it out. But I can't say for sure if there will be a sequel. Not sure. Probably by the time this drops, I might be sure. We'll see. But I do have a pretty good idea for what the sequel would be if there was one.
Are there any other exciting? I know it's like, hey, let me at least get my debut novel out first, guys. But is there anything else you're working on? I mean, you already wrote that book, right? So what's next? Is there anything, any projects you're excited about that you could talk about potentially?
I think I'm allowed. I don't know. Whatever, we can just I'll just let you
One
know if I
giant
need
beep. You fix
to
it.
another
And
giant.
I'll be like, oh. Yeah, it's called
I'm
Elder Scrolls 6.
yeah,
It's gonna be
it's
really cool.
I'm really excited about a story that I am going to be going out with. Well, no, there's no like official news or anything, but I write in a lot of different genres. Every novel I've written has been a different genre. And I want to say, I'm trying to decide if it's mostly sci-fi or if it's mostly fantasy. I don't know. I have to make a chart or something. But the one that I'm really excited about that it's in the works is a like a cyberpunk Firefly space opera thing, but really
Wow,
dark,
nice.
pretty funny, and it's dope. So I really hope that I can, get that out there. Then
Dope,
there's like
dark,
a
and funny.
cos,
Those are that's a
yeah,
good
there's like a
combination.
cosmic horror I want to write. There's like some other
Wow.
stuff. So, I'm one of those writers that kind of like wants to dip my toes into everything. So, if there is a sequel to The Last Fee Hunter, it might be the only thing we see because I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to move on. Like, I don't understand how writers can just write in the same universe for like a decade. I mean, like if they really love it, cool, but I don't know. I see something shiny and I'm like, oh, this is new. Like, I don't know. I might probably get a little bit bored if I was just doing like, 10 books with fairy monster love. Okay, you can bleep
Yeah,
We
for
can
sure,
leave
though.
it
We've
in.
trust me.
You know what? I might write like a fairy monster love story. I take that back. I take it back.
Hey, it's a popping genre right
I
now.
would
I wouldn't
totally do
blame you at
it.
all.
I would
Yeah.
totally do it.
Yeah, that and
Well.
just throw in just some really nice gory scene for us so we can just kind of cleanse the palate. It's almost like the reverse. It's like you use horror to, I mean, humor to counteract the horror. It's like, okay, now we need horror to counteract all this romance, will they, won't they business. It's
Oh
like,
yeah,
okay.
definitely. It's definitely like a push and pull, There's some scenes in the story that I had to dig into, like, what is disgusting to me? And let me just like put that there. And it's interesting because I'm not really a big like horror reader or even horror fan. Like when I'm watching movies, I'm just like covering my eyes and like screaming, and I get made fun of all the time for it. And yeah, I don't read a lot of horror, so and I'm not like a nature person. Like I don't hike. I'm a city person. I don't go into the
No
forest.
one really hikes, let's be real. Everyone says they do, but they don't.
But even like that, like so I'm like writing this story and I'm like, damn, they're like traveling through the forest for like half this goddamn book. Like, what does a tree look like? So, same thing with horror. I had to like figure it out. And I think that's kind of the fun in writing is kind of pushing yourself into places you aren't comfortable and then seeing what happens and growing from that.
Absolutely. Well, we're really looking forward to when this book can officially be released so we can get into more spoilers and things like that in the future. But no, I mean, The Last Fee Hunter, guys, like, go check it out. Start researching it, buy it tomorrow. Look at that beautiful cover. That's
It
gorgeous.
does have a really beautiful cover.
That's the.
Can I give you some lore behind the cover?
Yes, give us the
Yeah,
lore.
tell us.
I was very insistent on getting like a, illustrator, and I asked my friend Ilya Nazarov, who is a concept he was a concept he's a concept artist for games, and he worked on with me at Bethesda on games like Skyrim and Fallout. Well, those are the main games. So he's actually, yeah, so this is his work, and it was
Oh,
awesome
cool.
working with him again. And yeah,
That is awesome.
it's beautiful. Love
Yeah, he
it.
did an
It is
incredible
gorgeous.
job. It's so good and definitely fits the feel of the novel as well. So when there's alignment there, you get a lot of the once someone's picking it up and trying to get sense in the bookstore, okay, what is the deal with this novel? I think that yours will portray that
That's
really
like that
well.
it's shiny.
That's right. Yeah, Angry Robot did a good job of the layout artist, Alice Coleman, I think is her name, and she like laid it out and did the foil, and that's like a very Thai design, so I think it worked out. Yeah. And
Totally.
so I'm happy about that.
Oh, no, it's gorgeous. I can't wait to
Now,
pick up a copy because I just have the,
yay.
the PDF of the advanced copy because the book doesn't exist yet at this point in time. So,
Oh.
we'll have to get a real copy so I can show it off. But it
I'll
is
pull
very
some
cool.
strings for you, Charles.
Oh,
Oh.
nice. So between that and Bethesda, it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, go ahead,
I
Dylan.
do want to say though, Sal, we'd be remiss as we're winding down here if we didn't ask you about playing punk music. That was something
Oh
that
my
stuck out
gosh,
to
Dylan,
me, and
thank you. I can't believe we
I
almost
was like, Charles,
didn't
you
talk about
best not end this
that.
episode
Oh
before
yes.
we talk about
Is
that,
that
because
a brick and knocker I see in the
it's a
background there?
4001. Yeah, my
Woo,
pride and
yeah. I
joy.
mean, yeah,
hell
tell
yes.
us about that. It says that you play in punk bands. Is that plural? Multiple punk bands?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I have at different times played in more than one band. Now it's just one. We're called Sex Faces, based out of Washington, D.C. We're recording our, sorry, I'm just going to shamelessly plug,
Yeah, the
recording our
plug.
LP right now at in Philly. But yeah, it's always been a part of my life growing up. I've always been in the punk scene since I was, a teenager. And just found the community really welcoming, and I didn't really fit in at school very well, so it was kind of a refuge. And then I learned how to play music. I kind of taught myself how to play guitar, and I'm still not sure how to play guitar, but I still do it. And yeah, like playing is a lot of fun, going to shows. I love going to shows, so people follow me on Instagram and are like looking for writing stuff. I'm sorry, but your story is gonna have like a blast of like some live shitty noise band. I'm seeing that band or whatever. And then you'll get the promo like book post after that. But so yeah, I love playing music. And met a lot of cool people in the scene, and I like touring, a little bit when I was, had more time and stuff, and we still do every once in a while. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Doesn't like pay the bills, I mean, neither
That's
does writing.
real punk music, You can't get rich and famous playing
Right.
punk
Punk
music.
music
Like,
that you
come on.
got rich
You're a
doing, doesn't that defeat the
sellout.
purpose?
You're not punk anymore if you're rich. Like, let's be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah, for real. So you play guitar, you said, or
I
is that
play
your instrument of
guitar.
choice?
Yeah, I
Nice.
mean that's really the only one. I mean, I don't want to say I could play bass. I probably couldn't. You guys have to do a lot of scales, and I don't know what those
You
are.
could.
So
Charles did play.
I play guitar, mostly rhythm guitar, and I usually sing in a lot of the bands I've been in.
Oh, sing, that's cool.
Yeah, or
I feel
scream.
like singing in punk bands is pretty tough on the vocal cords. You gotta be
Yeah.
particularly
It is. And
screamy.
it was easier to sound cooler when I used to smoke cigarettes, but now it's like, you don't get that growl as much as some of the earlier stuff I've recorded.
I see. Yeah,
But
that
I
would
might
make
live
the difference.
longer. That's good.
That is the upside, but
Balance it out. Not
voice
ex
less cool.
you gotta balance it out,
Yeah, you gotta
Makes
balance
sense.
it.
Yeah. Well, you share a lot in common with Charles then, who he did play bass though in his
Oh.
band when we were in high school, Nostalgia. That was
Thank you for bringing this up.
they're
That's
still
pretty
working
cool.
on they're still working on their first LP as well.
But were you the
I think we got the
singer?
last couple.
No, I was the
He
bass
did,
player.
yes, he did sing in the Coffee House Jam in 2009, I believe.
Oh
When
man, that should be the outro music to this episode. Just like one of your songs should just bring
Oh God,
us.
just an
It was a
old
cover
early
of
2000 cell
Aerosmith.
phone recording.
What song, Charles, was it? It was like Walk This Way or
Dude, I'm
what
the bass
song did
player,
you?
so it was Sweet Emotion, of course.
Please.
Because it has the famous bass line. Yeah, we played cover bands for like, $2 each at a
I mean,
cafe when we were in high school. And we were like,
that
we're, session musicians now. We have a residency at the
that's
cafe down
yeah. I mean, I've
the
definitely played the same shitty club in Baltimore like 500 times, like
street.
back in the baby punk days. But man, I mean, covers are like that's respectable. They're harder to play than your own songs. That's why I don't play covers. I'm like, I don't want to have to learn something.
Learn
I'll
a
just make it
song,
up.
yeah, we were not punk at all. We weren't cool, but we
I mean,
tried
that's
so
they
hard.
played in
Rock
the
and roll.
library.
Yes.
I went to a gig of theirs in the library's basement.
That's
So,
what I mean. I literally have a shirt in my closet that says, "What's more punk than the library?" Because
oh,
like
okay.
it's a big thing in DC. Like the library, MLK library, has a punk archive on the top floor where they have like all these like DC punk historical stuff. They have videos, they have like flyers. It's like really cool, and they put on shows up there on the rooftop, and it's awesome. So
That
I
is
mean,
cool.
I say the library is cool as hell. Like if I
If
could play a
Dylan wouldn't know, he's
library,
not in the scene like us. He just doesn't
corrected.
understand.
Yeah.
Doesn't
Right.
know what he's talking about.
No,
That's
I'm
true.
saying it. Yeah.
No, the library is badass. A big
Love
fan.
it. I love it. I go to the library all the time. They give
Me
you
too.
10 free copies of color copies here in DC,
Ooh.
and you can do 3D printing. Like the library is such a great resource. Like more than just renting the borrowing books. Like a lot of libraries just have all this cool stuff. So remember, kids, request The Last V Hunter from your local library for me, please.
That's
Thank you.
right. The moral of this
That's how you know
story.
you've made it when you're in the library and there's a hold, you're like, ooh, this is a
Yeah,
hold.
exactly.
I'm
Like,
big
have you
time
ever
now.
gone to get a book and you're like, I'm the 50th person in the queue? What the, like, how is
I
that
know.
possible? I mean, great for them, but yeah, you'll probably
I
get
was
my book right
trying
away if you request it. So
get
get to
yeah.
it,
Charles
guys.
is still
Get in
waiting
line.
on
Yeah.
a
You will
tomorrow
tomorrow
when the book
to
comes out.
yes, request it now. You may be
Yes.
first in line of two people.
Exactly. So midnight release at the library. Last
And
Fee Hunter,
nostalgia will
don't miss it.
be playing.
Get Yeah,
the band
nostalgia.
back
Live
together.
performance.
Yeah.
Get the band
Yes.
back together, man. Get the band back
For
together. We
sure.
can do a heist of some sort. Let's
There you
reenact
go.
this sort of like best served cold kind of, you know.
I would
I feel like a
fantastic.
heist has sequel energy, you know, like Mass Effect
Yeah,
2,
sequel
very
potential for
heisty.
sure. You know, we need to leave the door open.
Yeah.
Because you never know. When you got the cash cow, you gotta milk it. Yeah,
Let's
that's just how it
go.
goes. So
Nostalgia.
yeah, definitely some sort of library heist punk band twist story is in the works here. But until then, guys, the last Fee Hunter's out now, and you can read that. It's a complete solid work of
Whole
fun
thing.
fantasy action. It's a whole thing.
No
Lots of
cliffhangers. It ends, boys and girls.
best
It does
respect, you
end.
know,
Yes.
best respect. So definitely gotta check that out. Sal, thank you so much for your time today and for coming on the show. Is there
Thank
anything else
you.
that we can mention at the end of the show here before we wrap things up about The Last Fee Hunter or anything else? Your punk band projects, LP releases, anything like that?
No, I think we covered it. Thank you so
We covered
much.
it.
This was great. I can't think of anything else.
We
Very
did it out.
happy to be here and talk to you guys about it.
Of course. No,
Yeah.
thank you so
Yeah.
much for, you know, giving us the chance to read the story and share it with everybody. And we're really excited about the release. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
For
All
sure.
right,
Thanks
guys.
for coming on, Sal. Where can folks find you on social media, though, so they can follow
Yes,
you?
social
Oh
media.
yeah, that's a good one.
We have Sal Go on Twitter or X or whatever. We have Go Sal Go on Instagram, and I'm much more active on Instagram. I'm really lazy about Twitter, but Twitter has more just like straight up book stuff. Instagram, follow me if you don't care if you get, you know, stories where I'm listening to obnoxious noise bands in the middle of the feed. And I think I have TikTok that I'm not on much, but it's Salani Goldenberg on that. And I have a website, salgowrites.com, where I update my blog more frequently because I realize newsletters are annoying as shit. So there's a blog for you.
Nice.
Yeah, those are the main ones.
Yeah, here it is, salgowrites.com. Check it out. So we'll definitely mention these when the episode releases for sure. Very exciting. Thank you again. Guys, go support Sal, go support The Last Fee Hunter. Thank you so much for your time. And I think that's a wrap, guys. Are we all good here? Thumbs up
Amazing.
all around. All right, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you all so much for listening. You guys are awesome. And as
Woo!
always, guys,
Fireworks.
go forth and conquer, friends. We don't got the fireworks going here. It's very exciting. Always good to end with
Nostalgia
fireworks.
rules.
Yeah. I tried Googling sex faces and did not get any punk bands.
Oh, you probably
<That's>
should not. Okay, Sex Faces Band DC. Otherwise, you might get something quite different.
Sex Faces Band, yeah. Because I was like, I gotta bookmark this, and then I
I
was like,
forgot
it's
about
not
that. It's
getting
like you
me
might want to
where I'm
throw that
trying
on
to
incognito mode
go.
there, Charles.
Exactly.
Your fiance might walk in and see whatever's going on that
What
screen
kind
and
of podcast
be
is
like,
this?
babe, I'm
No, I
working,
promise our
okay? I'm
guest
working.
is. Yeah.
Very important. Don't interrupt.
Friends talking fantasy, quote
Yeah.
unquote.
Yeah. There's. You got us. All right, guys. Thanks. Bye,
Cool.
everybody. See you later.
Thanks, Al.
Stop.